Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
The Mario Hour is now behind us. Again, special thanks to Mario Ellie, but The Usual Suspects rolls on as we get down to business.
Is this the right version of this song? Love Hurts?
Nope.
No, that's Mary J. Blige, by the way. No More Tears.
No, by the way, I looked up No More Tears. It was No More Drama. I didn't find No More Tears.
You're playing it right now.
This is Love Hurts here.
That is definitely Mary J. Blige.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that is the wrong song.
Scream!
Let's get it.
Whatever.
Let's try this one. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
That's Love Hurts.
There you go.
He just
had to get your song right.
Clicked on the wrong one.
Complaining.
Yeah, why? I'm surprised I went second. Are you still making your list out?
No, I got my list.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Right here in front
of me. I don't see any
right
words.
Right here.
Do you see any words on that, Joel?
I don't either.
Whatever.
There you go.
Still learning to work that Spotify interface. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. P. Randizzle says that was a solid listen. Really enjoyed it.
Good. I really liked the third segment when he was taking shots at LeBron, and then taking shots at my man intern Raj over here for wearing the wrong T-shirt. I like that. That was great. But why is Francis on that shirt though?
And not
it's
Mario.
A great question.
Yeah, Mario's
Vernon
not on
Maxwell.
There.
It's not like
Vernon
it's
Maxwell.
Fault.
Robert Ori is Ori,
Ori
on there.
Okay, Ori's on there.
Yeah,
it is.
You should. It's got like, you know, I get what they're doing, but it should just be the Rockets that were Clutch City.
Yeah.
There's another one, right? I think there's only five or six names, but it essentially was the top six on that team. It was Dream, Clyde, Vernon, Robert, Sam,
Thorpe,
OT, and Mario.
Okay.
I've seen a different version of it, I think.
Having a Clutch City shirt without Mario on it, though, doesn't make sense.
Especially, I mean, his legacy was cemented with the kiss.
I love how he says, the kiss, man, y'all would have never had a championship without
it wasn't
the kiss.
For my corner
I love
three.
That.
Yes.
I'll tell y'all something. So, back then, I was in the truck on the TV side, and that was an NBC game. So, in games when we didn't do local broadcasts, our PR staff would find a seat for us. I was lucky enough to be sitting behind the coaches that game, right there at Press Row. And that was one of the, you always hear about the no, 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 yes. Rudy drew up a play, right? So that was not the play. So they didn't expect Phoenix to do like a three-quarters court pickup, trapping, full-court press kind of thing. So the ball swung around, and the whole objective, too, was to run as much clock as they could. Well, the ball just happened to swing quickly and got it to Mario, and literally, it was like on the bench. No one wanted to do it real loud, but they were like, no, 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 and then he yanked it, and everybody was like, yes, and they went nuts, and they're like, okay, we'll take it, and then he,
dude,
as cool as a cucumber with the kiss of death, I mean, he cemented his legacy.
That is me all the time watching sports at the house.
Yeah,
something like that will happen. Like Harden will, you know, dribble up and shoot. I'll be like, no, what are you doing? And then he'll make it. I'll be like, yeah, good shot. And my wife's like, you're such an idiot. Like, you are such an idiot. I'm totally that dude. No, shoot that. Oh, yeah, good shot. I knew he'd make that.
Lamont asked me on Twitter one night, are you the guy that yells at the TV? And there's no question, especially when it's basketball. And Lisa's like, why aren't you, isn't there someone you could tell? I'm like, I'm not going to be able to tell anybody what they should be doing coaching basketball, but when I see people that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, yeah, I kind of just lash out and yell at the TV because who else is going to listen to me?
Well, hell yeah.
I tend to yell about bad shots, and I hate it when that's a terrible shot, and then he like nails it and just swish, just.
Well, it's still a bad shot. That's yeah, where I
exactly.
would finish that one. It's still a bad shot. It just went in. But yeah, those are I yell at the TV, even especially baseball too, strategically.
I thought Packers is when you yell the most.
Oh, no question. Oh, yeah, okay. Lisa thinks that the neighbors some night are going to call 911 because when I yell at the TV for Packer games, the best thing I can do is be in the man cave with the door shut, which I thought meant was soundproof.
Yeah,
found out the hard way. It was
not. It's not.
No, I woke the baby up one night and she was not happy.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Hey, so can we, I just wanted to, we were talking trade rumors for the Rockets, mm-hmm. and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on this other trade rumor that I saw. And actually, this is a question that somebody had asked us
okay.
on Twitter.
All right.
And I think you were included on it, but they said, would you rather have Gerrit Cole, Jacob DeGrom, mm-hmm. Chris Archer, I believe it was?
I think you're right, yep.
And my response was DeGrom because, one, I think he's the best pitcher out of those three, and two, his contract is much more team-friendly. He's got this year plus 3 years of arbitration before he becomes an unrestricted free agent, where you only have 2 years of control left with Gerrit Cole. So I started just, you know, I looked up their contracts. And by the way, that's actually a rumor that's out there, is Jacob DeGrom in a trade with the Astros. This came out from Tom Verducci on Sports Illustrated. Mentioned the
source.
Idea of DeGrom as the Astros' ideal trade deadline pitching target. So that could be interesting. I mean, your thoughts?
What they would have to give up, because you and I both answered the same way.
Yeah.
DeGrom would be the guy. What they'd have to give up would be the key. Don't direct message Alex Bregman, but try and figure out if you can keep it to the farm system and not to the major league roster. Yeah, and I think DeGrom is a guy that, like you said, you and I were both doing the research at the same time when the question was asked, and it was like everything points that way.
Do you trade Alex Bregman for DeGrom? If that's what the Mets say, no, that's what we want.
I think if you're going to go for it this year, and I think as much as there might be a huge upside, I think you got to consider doing it.
Yeah, because you can put Gurriel back at third base. You can put Marwin Gonzalez at first base. You can, you know, there's tons of options.
Do you think they would settle for just a Bregman, though?
No, I think
they're
going to
look at Fisher. They're going to look at pitching prospects.
They're going to look at prospects. I think you could get away with some sort of trade like that where you have Martez and Fisher and you know, some other guys. Paulino probably hurt himself, but you could still include him in a trade. But yeah, if a team like the Mets is thinking, you know, we're not close this year, next year, but we've got some guys coming up, or you don't know. I mean, I don't know what the needs are for that team specifically, but I'm just saying there's got to be that level where you're saying, no, Alex Bregman isn't worth pitcher A, but he is worth pitcher B. So I was just curious. Is
you
DeGrom
get your
guy,
hands on a DeGrom.
Yeah, the most consistent guy in that rotation that they have had by
I
far.
I would definitely say Bregman can go in that deal.
Now, here's what is weird. All right, so I went to SportTrack, which is a great website for contracts and so forth. Mm-hmm. And that's where I looked up DeGrom's contract. And it says, you know, 2017, he'll make a base of $4 million. And then, you know, his arbitration years 2, 3, and 4 for 2018 through 20. On the right-hand side, it tells you similar players. And the first pitcher listed similar to Jacob DeGrom is Chris Archer. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Right.
So then I just looked up to make sure. I clicked on Chris Archer to see his contract. And he's got 2 years left. He's got 4 years left. The last two are his option, are player options in 2020 and 2021. A lot of money, though. $6 million, $7 million, $8 million, $8 million. But in the similar players, a guy listed,
yeah,
Mike Fiers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so I went and looked up Gerrit Cole and his contract. You know, this year he's got his $3.5 million, his first year of arbitration, and then next 2 more years of arbitration. Looked over at similar players.
Mike Fiers.
So, according to SportTrack, whether it's just weird, but they're saying, yeah, guys in this range include Mike Fiers. Now,
SportTrack just lost a whole lot of credibility. Yeah. Unless other teams are interested in a, wait for it, fire sale.
Oh, damn.
Oh, boy. There you go.
Damn you.
I mean, to me, look, you see what they're doing. We've said this before. This is not the time to be counting innings for going on the long-term possibilities. You got to go for it when you get a chance. You're not going to get many more opportunities. Yeah, you hope that they're going to continue to have this young group together, but at the same time, when you are this close, you've got to take a shot.
Yeah, and the only thing I can think of, because obviously DeGrom and Mike Fiers are not similar pitchers,
right.
So one can only assume that they mean this is not necessarily statistically, but contractually, either money or years or some form or combination of the two, maybe. I hope that's the case. Because, yeah, I sure would hate to have stopped going to this website because they think that Jacob DeGrom and Mike Fiers.
Kurtlow just called. David Polino could be the centerpiece of a trade for DeGrom. So that's definitely a possibility, something that we'll have to weigh into it because, I mean, whew.
By the way, I just wanted to see who they said would be similar to Fiers on his page.
Yeah.
Clicked on Mike Fiers. Three similar players that they list. Marcus Stroman.
Oh, my God.
Jacob DeGrom and Jared Weaver. What a weird mix. Yeah.
A little eclectic there. But by the way, did Stroman, I don't know if any Astros fans, like, I wanted to jump through the TV screen and punch the hell out of Stroman the other day. Because, you know, the Astros had him on the ropes a couple times. They just couldn't get the runs in.
Yeah.
Boy, was he talking smack when he was walking back every single time. You know, even especially the last inning he pitched, like he was the man. Feisty. I was like, bro, go back and watch the tape. They had you. They just didn't get the big hit when they needed it. But they had runners on base, and they had you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
That really fired me up. All right, we got a lot going on because of Mario being here in the first hour. A lot to recap, including a pretty entertaining All-Star game. The Mello trade talks continue. We've got a list of things to get through, so we're going to roll through it and make sure we get you that and a whole lot more. And, of course, you're always free to participate, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Right now, I want to tell you guys about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. Mike and Tammy Gust have owned the store forever, and they make sure that they treat you right. I can't tell you how many times myself and others had gone to a chain of tire stores, and you know the ones I'm talking about, where you go in because you got a flat, but suddenly you realize that you've got to pay for six other things that you didn't know and really didn't expect to have wrong, and you're not even sure that there is those kind of problems, but you end up paying for them anyway. That's not what American Wheel and Tire does. It started out where everybody went to American Wheel and Tire because they wanted rims and tires to really make their car look unique, different, and cool. Now it's gotten to the point where American Wheel and Tire is your one-stop shop for everything for your car, from wheels and tires that are factory. If you have a rim damage, they can repair it so you don't have to pay for a new one. They're never going to charge you for things that you don't need, but they're going to take care of the problems that you have right away. And the waiting rooms, out of this world. Leather sofas, lots of refreshments, big screen TVs, the VIP room, the candy room as they call it, pretty damn cool. You don't want to miss it, and check them out because they're always going to treat you right. They want to earn your trust. American Wheel and Tire is at 290 and 34th Street and AmericanWheelandTire.com. They have lift kits, factory wheels, customs, all types of vehicles can be serviced there, and all kinds of tires, even off-roads. So check them out. American Wheel and Tire, 290 and 34th Street. Tell them Joel Blank sent you.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects on a really, really good hump day. Anytime you can bring the Junkyard Dog, Mario Elliott Studio for hour number one, that's a good start to the day. And then, of course, we've still got plenty to get to and lots to talk about because the All-Star game was actually fairly entertaining last night. Went extra innings. Nothing on the line, thank goodness, for home field advantage because the Astros are front and center and all that, too. But did you watch and did you enjoy it?
I did watch. I enjoyed it for a while, and then I didn't. I mean, it was all right.
You know, I like the fact that it went quick.
It was a yes, that I do. It was a pitcher's duel, but you could tell. You could tell that, like I said yesterday, neither one of these sides wanted to lose, even though this is an exhibition game.
Right.
These guys. The guys out there pitching don't want to give. Davis giving up that home run to Cano, who, by the way, that only further cements my man crush on that dude.
He's awesome.
God, I love watching that dude play baseball. If you're not a fan of Robbie Cano, you need to check that dude out and become a fan.
It's his disposition too. Everybody just talks about how laid back he is.
Easy.
He looks like there's never any pressure on him. Just gonna slide in here, do what I got to do, laugh, chew seeds. That was awesome.
Yeah, and the way he plays is so effortless. But yeah, coming in and getting that home run late in the game, it was a good game. you know, I wanted to see the Astros do better. I'm not going to lie.
I did too, yeah.
I'm glad Davinsky came in and had a good inning. But who was it that started the game for the American League?
Sale?
National League.
Scherzer.
Yeah. Him grunting?
Yeah. The mic. I loved what Fox did in terms of the extra mics, the guys on field. How awesome is it that a guy's playing the outfield and is actually talking and has a mic when they did Harper and Springer? And here's the thing. I've said this before. Major props to George Springer,
yeah,
who is beating and overcoming a stuttering problem, to not only say, I'll do it, but do it well last night. And you could tell if there were words or things that were coming up, he'd just stop, reset the deck. He was fantastic.
Richard Justice did an article that I need to find the link and post for everyone to read, because it is a fantastic read. But it talks about that, and it talks about the biggest thing he did was not making the All-Star game, and it wasn't agreeing. Well, it wasn't, you know, being there, and it was agreeing to be mic'd up and talk live on the field because of what he's overcome with his stutter.
Question.
And he doesn't run from it. And he basically said, how can I set an example for kids that are going through this if I run from it? And he said, I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to go out there. And yeah, I know I'm going to stutter, but big deal. I'll do it and, you know, keep going. And you have to admire somebody like that. I mean, to face that head on and to, you know, not make it really part of the story, even though, you know, we're talking about it, but he doesn't shy away from it. He doesn't run from it. And, man, good for him.
I mean, here's the thing, too. You mentioned it, the fact that he takes it head on, but he takes it a step further. Like, he did what he did last night, but he also does what he does with his foundation to talk to kids about it, too. To say, hey, this isn't something to be embarrassed about. This isn't something that you can't overcome. People don't realize Bo Jackson had a stuttering problem.
Yeah.
And Bo Jackson worked hard to overcome it. There's been lots of athletes in history that can overcome this. But the fact that he is so forward-thinking in the fact that he's going to reach the kids now so that they can change it by the time they have an opportunity to be out in the public, I just think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I love it. It's good for him. You know what I mean? Like, good for him for facing it and being that face. Because I was talking about that with my wife when we were watching it. And it was like, you know, what an example, not just for kids, but for anyone with a stutter or anything that they feel like they wouldn't be able to overcome or is holding them back. I think he was bullied as a kid, you know, because of it. And man, just it's a great story. Good for him.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. And like, I'm like you. I wanted to see the Astros as a whole do better. And I do appreciate that they were left on the field to play, you know, almost five innings, which was great in some cases. I did like to see what Davinsky did in a scoreless inning. But overall, look, it was a pitcher's game. They proved it. I loved the elements. I love those elements we're talking about, miking up the guys on the field, getting guys as they're taking ground balls in between innings, the mic on the mound that got all the great sound effects, that kind of stuff, and even the fun and games of Nelson Cruz taking a picture with the umpire and getting Yadi Molina to snap it.
Yeah.
That's the
Did
kind of stuff.
Did you hear what he said? He said something to the effect of, he's the oldest guy in the game.
Yeah.
That's why I took a picture with him.
Is it Joe West?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
It was fantastic. And then the fact that he's in the at-bat with the cell phone in the back pocket, and they showed it. And then later they interviewed him, Rosenthal, and interviews him in the dugout, and he shows the picture. I'm like, see, that's the kind of things that endear you to fans. You're human beings. You're having fun. That's what it's all about.
I heard Joe Buck talking about this, and I think it was late one night. I don't remember, but he was talking about the fact that, you know, baseball needs to be promoted more, and that the reason they did those things is to give fans a look and to promote these guys. I mean, you had two of the most dynamic young outfielders in the game mic'd up during play in Springer and Bryce Harper, and both couldn't have done a better job talking to, you know, giving you insight as to what's going on in their mind. The same thing with, you know, Alex Rodriguez walking around the infield and talking. And the only one I didn't really like was talking to the leadoff hitters, because they were like, yeah, I'm just going to go out there and try. I mean, what do you say?
You're trying to focus on an at-bat, a guy you have probably never seen before.
Yeah.
Or rarely seen.
Altuve was like, I got 30 seconds. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
That's all you're probably going to get anyways. But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, I liked it. I liked that the guys were mic'd up, that you had the, you know, the insight on the field. So, I mean, good for them. I thought it was good for baseball.
I totally agree. I thought that, you know, it humanized all the guys. You got Harper with his well-coiffed hair, gave you the big hair flip and was able
to... The diving catch.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know who trained that kid to talk, but I mean, he said everything right.
Very well spoken.
The entire half inning was fantastic to see.
Very well spoken.
A great all-star game. And now we head back to the second half where we can start talking Astros again and dial into the fact that the Minnesota Twins will be here starting Friday for a weekend series. The trade talks are going to intensify because the Astros are so good and they are in search of a starting pitcher or some more pitching help. There are big names that are being thrown out there as well. So you can check that out. One thing I thought, too, was Joe Buck, who you know I have a disdain for when he does football.
Yes.
Was on Howard Stern. If you guys YouTube, he was on Howard Stern. He did a couple of interviews, and he really came across very humble. Lisa heard it as well, and she was saying, God, I know how much you can't stand him and Aikman. But he talked about having marijuana brownies in Cabo and not being able to feel his legs and his driver like pulling him to go towards the car and he fell down. He said he took like a 4-minute nap but woke up okay. Stuff like that. Talked about his hair plugs on Howard Stern.
That's great.
And they had the U.S. Open champ, the golfer in Brooks Koepka. And he talked about the fact that he screwed up and gave him credit for having the wrong girlfriend, but they were both hot. So there's some fun stuff you can find on Joe Buck, too, because even he was, I think, a lot more humanizing in the booth. I thought their whole broadcast was great.
I agree. It was good to see. It was, you know, baseball's always been known as the boring, you know, old man's game, and it was good to see the youth. And like, I want to hate Aaron Judge. I really do. He's a Yankee. He's
I hate
good.
The Yankees, but you can't hate that kid.
I don't hate him, man. I mean, what you got to see some insight with that kid this weekend or this week. I can't hate that dude. I'm rooting for him. I want him to be a great player now.
And even the one thing that New York media and other people were pointing out, too, he has dry humor and he inserts things, though he seems like he's never going to say anything controversial. He will insert a few little zingers in there, kind of play, you know, even if it's taking shots at him, that people, you got to go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
But I like that kid. He looked to me, he's Blake Griffin in a baseball uniform, but boy, he's one hell of a baseball player.
Josh Fernandez said, hey guys, I'm in Portland for work and local radio is chirping about Trailblazers as last second dark horses for Melo.
No.
Ain't happen.
He's going to one of two places.
Cleveland or Houston.
That's right.
That's it.
So we'll see what happens. If you want to talk Melo, we'll do that. We've got baseball to talk about. We've got a whole bunch of fun stuff on the agenda that we can continue to roll with. And if you want to roll with us in not only listening form, but you want to participate, 713-780-3776, the HR&P listener line. You can call. You can text. Barry will sing Phil Collins with you. And you can also hit us up on Twitter, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Jerry needs to know that this is a Barry pick.
I should have known better than to cheat a friend. Joel. And waste that chance that I'd been given.
I just like the fact you said you'd never going to dance again, and I just said promise? Because none of us want to see that.
Well, you know what they say. Guilty feet have got no rhythm. That's what they said back in my neighborhood.
Well, George says that.
Well, George is right.
Wham! Just like that. Without further ado, Nick, your favorite, Jerry! Jerry's on. Jerry. Jerry, what's up, Jerry?
Jerry, what's up?
You say Barry. I got to work on it. Sorry about that.
It's Barry. Just Barry.
But, I was just going to say, do you think that if they actually get Carmelo, that even though they're adding all this talent, that they could actually be significantly worse? I mean, sometimes it really comes down to chemistry. And, I mean, being from New York, you watch Melo all these years, all this talent, but sometimes it's just certain guys that just don't add anything to the team's success. You know, I know part of it has to do with the Knicks being a horrible organization, but I could actually see the Rockets being significantly worse. Like, it just doesn't jive.
Yeah.
I'm just curious what you think about that. And then also, real quick, the thing you said about the microphones, like with the, how you can hear like the grunting and like the, you know, when they step on the bag, like it's, The microphones give it a totally different feel. I think they should do that for the regular season game. Also, like when you have guys that like are talking to the first base coach or third base coach or like Jeter used to always talk to the guy at second base, and you're always wondering, like, what, you know, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
Like, that would be a cool thing to kind of, like, bring the players, make them, you know, a little more, I guess, more content for the fans. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. In fact, at one point in the game, when Harper, after his at-bat, he walked up, and it was Betances, right?
Yeah.
That he faced. He goes, he's the kind of guy where you just take pitches and let him walk you.
But he said a 91-mile-an-hour curveball.
Yeah.
But having,
but he's like, yeah, you just go up there and let him walk you.
I was worried about the fact that they were saying it live. Like, what if he drops an F-bomb going, did you see that effing curveball he just snapped at me?
Hey, Joel.
Yes, sir.
Sorry to cut you off. Do you remember the home run derby they had Miguel Tejada? Miguel Tejada would curse in Spanish, but the person who's doing the dump fight
didn't know
Spanish. It was hilarious. I'm like, oh, my God, he's dropping all kinds of...
Yes.
Excuse me, curse words, and they just didn't even know. So I'm like, anybody who's Hispanic sitting there watching, they're like, wow, they're just letting it go. But it was pretty hilarious.
So
every time,
so true story.
Up, he would curse.
True story. As the director of broadcasting for the Rockets, too, when they mic up the coaches, there's a whole system in play because everybody is hypersensitive that if something gets out that shouldn't get out, it could be like not career threatening, but it could really be damaging.
Yeah.
So there's a guy, the person doing the tape and getting the audio has to have a representative from each team next to them, and then they all have to approve or disapprove of whatever audio, and it could and whatever is not used on air because they think it's too, either they gave away some the team is trying to do or whatever, that has to be destroyed immediately. And in the Rockets' case, some of the audio from what JB Bickerstaff and McHale talked about on the bench one day got out, and it was a little racy. And I mean to tell you, McHale was boycotting any interviews after that. People were freaking out. And then they were trying to do this whole CSI, like, who let the tape, who let that audio get out because it's so top secret. I give the players credit for knowing they were mic'd and not really overthinking it to be that hypersensitively worried. It's an all-star game. But I think before you get to Jerry's point of doing that, like regular season or even playoffs, they would actually police that a lot closer.
Yeah, well, they would have somebody, you know, the broadcast would be on a delay. And I think that at one point during the Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather thing, when McGregor was talking, he was cursing a lot, and somebody came on, because I was listening to it on the Blitz on my drive home, and somebody, whoever was, I guess, doing that said, no, we're not having any difficulties. We're just bleeping out the curse words or blanking them out. And so I think that that would probably...
Blanking him out? Is that what you're going to do?
God, I knew he would do that as soon as I said it. Yes. I knew it. But Jerry has some great points about that. I did like the mics on the field. I liked hearing that. I liked hearing Harper get over to first base and talk about, oh, man, you just let Betances walk you. Just let him walk you. That's it.
So, that was great.
I dug it, man. And it the thing that he says about adding Carmelo to the Rockets and it being worse, I could see that. And let me tell you why.
Oh, it's possible.
If Melo and Chris Paul are really that good of friends, and I know James and Chris Paul are boys, right? There's that talk. But if Paul and Melo are really that close and James isn't doing what they think he should do and vice versa, you could see there being some friction between those two guys. It's certainly possible. I'm not saying it will happen, but I'm just saying to his point, I could see something like that derailing this whole thing just as well as I could see the three of them come together and saying, all right, let's figure this out and go beat the Warriors.
You're just salty because you want to see him lose.
No, that's not it.
I mean, no,
I think Jerry has a valid point.
Jerry was a great call, as always. We were just talking about that. But here's the thing. There's no I in team, but the M and the E that's in there are the first two words of the words Melo. Melo won a national championship at Syracuse, but since he's been in the NBA, it's been all about me. And that's a big ask for a guy that has been globally one of those individuals within the sport to have to kind of step that, not just one step back. In this case, it looks like two steps back, that the pecking order would be Harden, Paul, Melo.
Yeah.
Is there enough talent? Absolutely. But is there the chance that it fails? And for the very reasons that we've been highlighting here on the show, yes, there's a chance. I don't know, significantly worse, but I think, again, you could see them have a good regular season because regardless of which guy's hot on what night or the fact that there's not that all the bright lights, the national media, the scrutiny of if you lose one game, it could really hurt.
Yeah.
They're gonna do well in the regular season. I really believe that. But come playoff time, if they don't have that pecking order figured out and that locker room, that's where you could really see problems because you're asking guys to do something in the case of those three that none of the three of them have ever had to do. James is the only one that's had some experience with it because at Oklahoma City, he was the sixth man. But since they've all established themselves with their last franchise, None of them have had to take a step back for anyone, and that's what's going to be a wrinkle that has to wrinkles that have to be ironed out.
Yeah, and I think though, like you said, that chasing that ring and wanting, you know, they're doing this for a reason. These three guys are pushing for this team to be built this way for a reason, and it's because they think if they play together, they have a better opportunity to go out and win a ring and beat the Warriors. So you hope that they put the rest of that stuff behind them and say, all right, it's James's team, and I know what my role is. I'm the number two, and okay, I know I'm number three, and I'm going to score. And you know, you hope that they're at least professional enough to figure that out. So
I mean, and here's the thing too, to exactly what you're saying, but it's how bad do you want it? You can say you want to win. You can talk amongst your boys and say we should play together. But when it really comes to push comes to shove, it's how much you show the effort to say, I'm going to step back. I'm going to defer to these guys. I'm going to let him handle the ball, or I'm not going to be worried about taking the last shot. I don't mind being a decoy or the guy that takes the double team and kicks it out. If they can get to that level, look, there is more firepower there than anybody but Golden State. And they could do a lot of things. And again, the other thing that we keep saying is those role players and that bench and the guys they fill out the bottom half of that roster with, that's going to be as hyper important as anything as well.
I mean, you mentioned Golden State, and if you really think about this from a talent perspective, the Rockets with Tucker, you know, as behind Ariza, with Gordon coming off the bench, with Nene coming off the bench, that right there, those three, your 1, 2, and 3 options off the bench. That's deep.
They could start for many teams in this league. Deep. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's a deep team.
Because now, to Mario's point, you're not afraid to go 8-9 deep because you've got guys you believe in.
And you can run Chris Paul and Eric Gordon and give James a rest.
Absolutely. Or if he needs a night off, which he didn't want to take last year, you can do it. Here's the other thing, too. The reason why Mike D'Antoni wouldn't play those guys in the playoffs is because they were young guys. He didn't trust them.
Yep.
A lot of veteran coaches don't trust young players. They're not here anymore. So get guys that he's going to play and trust. Otherwise, it's not worth having him on the roster because you're not grooming him for someday. Someday's now.
But that doesn't make sense with Melo. If you're saying get guys he can trust, and you know he didn't like Melo at the time. I know I've read things where he says, it's,
like,
you know,
trust in terms of experience.
Yeah, I'm saying experienced veteran lead, you know, veteran guys that have been there, done that. He didn't trust Decker and Harrell. I don't understand why Harrell's so hard for people to say.
I don't know.
Yeah, Ellie struggled with that one.
Yeah. All right, so Clarence, our main man in our list of all-star callers.
We see you, player.
We're coming to you. We've got a lot more
Bluetooth
to get to. Yeah, and I didn't say that. Barry did. So we've got plenty more of the usual suspects. It's Nick and Barry and Joel, and we'll continue to roll on right here on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarrara.
Welcome back to Karaoke with Barry Hour, where we go from Phil Collins to Tony Braxton, if you want to take us home with a little...
Break my heart. Oh,
God, that's awful.
I'm telling you guys, when it comes to singing... My
plastic Starbucks glass just broke.
When it comes to singing, I sound like a... horse with his hoof caught in a drain grate. Just
sound like a black
terrible
Jewish guy.
A black Jewish guy?
Yeah. Those are the two comparisons we get anyway.
Beli the black Jew rapper singer. Yeah, that's me.
Barry Davis Jr.
Yeah, you are a real hip cat, man.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Who can make the sun rise?
You, babe.
That's pretty good, Nick. It's way before your time.
Yeah, you don't know nothing about that.
This is the best part.
You hit that high note.
And then hope your grapes descend back down after hitting that one.
So bad.
Speaking of hitting that one, that was what broke up the early Dallas Mavericks.
Tony Braxton?
Yeah, Jason Kidd and Jimmy Jackson were both fighting over her.
Yeah. What was that? What was it?
Yeah, what did they call it?
J's, the triple J's or something like that?
It was Jamal Mashburn, Jason Kidd, and Jimmy Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was their nickname?
There was a nickname for them. Someone will come up with it on Twitter, but yeah.
Losers. Oh, in your face, Dallas.
And this was even before Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
All right. So a lot of fun today on the show.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And our favorite callers are calling in. And because of that, one of our favorite callers on his Bluetooth at the gym with a dog sleeping next to him, Clarence, joins us next. Clarence, what's up, man?
What up, guys?
What's up, Clarence?
Didn't think I heard that little snarky Bluetooth remark, huh, Barry?
Love it.
No, I knew you did. I did it just for you.
All right, a couple of things. First, I agree with the other guy. They need to do something like the NFL and have baseball mic'd up. And you know, you watch NFL networks and they do mic'd up and just show it all. I watch those shows and it's just hilarious just listening to the guys talk trash on the football field. I know it's not going to be as fun in baseball, but it's still going to be enjoyable to listen to.
Yep.
Secondly, I knew y'all were probably in the car at the time listening to the spectacle that was that whole press conference. And the whole MVP of that press conference was probably the guy sitting in the monitor room with the sensor button just pressing it repeatedly. I had to give him a B+ because at least two words got through live. I don't know if it got through on the radio, but watching live on the TV, it got through.
Nice. Yeah, dude, what did you think about it, though, Clarence? Did you are you hyped for the fight? You ready to pay for it now?
Oh, I wasn't paying for it before. I'm okay. Going to someone's bar.
Well, that's the point of the press conference, though, Clarence, is to get you to buy in to what they're selling so you pay for it. Are you paying for it?
I'm going to buy in just to see if McGregor actually knock him out, if he could knock him out.
Now I you're mean, just Floyd's being silly.
Floyd's a very great defensive fighter, but it's been shown that if you catch him with a punch, you can hurt him. And I believe McGregor might just catch him with one. Enough to hurt him. And it was very funny to hear all after the fact that Mayweather's going to say he'll get in the octagon if you want him in the octagon. No, he won't.
No, that's never
happening. That ain't ever happening.
No.
He has legs the size of my pinky. He would never get in the octagon.
He'd rather pay his taxes to get in the octagon, for sure.
Appreciate the call, Clarence.
Another remark. That was the funniest remark when you talked about the taxes. Somebody have $100 million check. Yeah, that's for the tax man.
Appreciate the call, Clarence.
As always, bringing it. Love Clarence.
That's good stuff. We have we have audio, right? A cleaned up version of the press conference.
As far as the fight, he will be unconscious inside four rounds. The movement, the power, the ferociousness. Mm-hmm. He's not experienced this. He's fought people who have shied away from him.
We know Mr. Tapo liked to quit. And you will wave that white flag because you can choose which way you want to go. I'm guaranteeing you this. You're going out on your face or you're going out on your back.
Well, I'll tell you what. Guys know how to get that money-making marketing machine revved up.
Here's the thing, though, and this could just be me. I don't know. You guys tell me what you think. But I heard Conor McGregor's press conference. I didn't get to hear Floyd Mayweather. So that, what I just heard, is the first of Floyd's entire press conference that he gave that I heard. And just from listening to that and listening to, you know, Conor's, couple of things. One, I noticed that McGregor kept saying how they caught him off guard. He wasn't ready for all this. So he didn't prepare for the press conference to sell it like he was supposed to sell it, obviously. Two, I think Floyd tried way too hard. Like, you could tell that he was just trying to be as outspoken and as flamboyant as Conor McGregor, and he wasn't. And they both can't be a heel. You know what I mean? Like, there's always got to be that good guy and the bad
guy.
Good
guy, bad guy, yep.
The fans are going to decide who that's going to be over the next four or five, or over this tour, this barnstorming press conference tour that they're doing. But right now, just listening to Floyd Mayweather talk, it just sounds fake. It sounds almost wrestling-ish. Like, he's just trying to... the whole thing about this whole silly fight to begin with. This is all just pomp and circumstance and hype, and they're not doing a good job of it.
You don't think so?
No, I think that was a terrible press conference.
Yeah.
Would it make you want to buy it after listening to those two? Because that's the point of this, is to generate enough interest to make fans that are on the fence about buying it, buy it.
That's true.
That's the whole point.
For me, I don't think I would have bought it, even if it was a good press conference, but yeah.
There comes a point at a press conference where bottles get thrown. You know, the Diaz brothers are famous for this, to get you to buy a fight for them just because of the amount of crap that they talk and the things that they do, throwing things and trying to fight people. Jones Cormier won. They tackled each other. I had to see that fight.
Yeah.
But what these guys are doing with their with these verbal jabs that are just horrible.
Well, hang tight. There's going to be two more press conferences before the week is up. They got one in Toronto. I believe they got one in the UK. So that's going to be crazy. You know, in the UK, that, you know, that might be Conor McGregor land. There'll probably be a bunch of Irish people there too. And then, you know, there's going to be some cities in the tour, or a city or two in the tour, where it's probably going to be heavy Floyd Mayweather fans. So maybe this is just one of many press conferences. Hopefully, I don't know. You know,
well,
they do a better job.
On the first leg, let's just say that their first leg of this relay race was piss poor.
Yeah, and you're
but
right.
Connor
did seem like he looked off guard.
The general public, and I hate to say this, but the hardcore fans and even the raw, whatever their demographics are that they're trying to hit, they want the cussing, they want the back and forth, they want the crap talking. And this is what they want.
Right.
You know, because, again, to your point, this is probably not even going to be much of a fight. And everybody can talk till their heart's content, but every time they're talking, all they're trying to do is talk you into being convinced you need to buy this fight.
But what you have here is two guys trying to force this dynamic that doesn't exist. This, you know, they're trying to create hate between the two. And they're not doing a good job of it thus far.
Yeah, I do agree with you because I feel like both of them, like you think Floyd tried too hard. I actually feel like Conor didn't try enough. Like I felt like he normally would. I'm not talking about Floyd, but Conor normally he would come at you a little bit further. I don't know if it's because it's Floyd or like you mentioned he was thrown off guard and he didn't know about the pressure.
Well, he even said it. He was like, I wasn't expecting 20,000 people. I wasn't expecting this. They said I had to come out here and say these things. I'm not used to going first, I guess. So he kind of hinted that, hey, look, you know, the boxing promoters or whoever's doing this, they didn't really give me the game plan on what we're supposed to be here doing, and so I'm not fully prepared. I think he tried to talk a lot of mess as best he could without preparing a list, but this just goes to show you again what these guys are. Conor McGregor is a hype man first and then a fighter. Now, that's what he's evolved into. I remember watching Conor McGregor 2 or 3 years ago. He was a fighter. There wasn't this hype man that went out and sold pay-per-views with his mouth. He sold pay-per-views because he fought.
We talked about this before, too. He realizes that he maximized all he could be where he was and realized if he could turn the page and add this element and get this kind of event and get behind it and do, like Barry said, be the bad guy, but be able to be the quote machine, be able to get people fired up and have all this animosity and these opinions. All it does is push the buys up on the pay-per-view. It gets people to say, hey, I got to see what happens here. And regardless of the means in which they see it, people are going to be trying to see it.
If you do a good job.
Right.
And remember, they're not just pushing pay-per-view buys. Look, they're pushing restaurants, they're pushing casinos to carry it. You know, restaurants and casinos are paying somewhere in the ballpark, like depending on what your capacity, it's like by the capacity. Some of these restaurants are paying $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 just for this one pay-per-view fight. So,
which, by the way, they said it at $100, right? $99.99.
They set the price?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure it was $100.
Oh man, my prediction is wrong.
Well, you were close though. You said $125, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean,
I just figured it'd be more expensive than Mayweather Pacquiao for whatever reason. But I expected it to be at least 100 for sure.
I'm pretty sure that's what I saw, heard, or read. Or I don't know. For some reason, I want to say I heard $100 and I could be wrong. But yeah.
I'll look it up. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Yeah, let's verify that at the break. All right, guys. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. And we'll get to Ashton's call on the other side of the break. But first, I want to tell you guys about Gulf State Home Buyers. Listen, if you're out there and you're trying to sell your home and you need to do it fast, you need that cash now, you need to sell it quickly, then what you need to do is you need to pick up the phone and call Gulf State Home Buyers because they're going to buy it from you. They're going to tell you no problem and they're going to make you a cash offer. And it doesn't matter what your situation is, regardless of why you need the money, whether you've got back taxes and you need to get out from under the house, or your HOA dues are delinquent and it's holding you up from selling it, or you're going through a divorce and y'all just need to split that house, get the cash, and be done. Bankruptcy, foreclosure, unemployment, doesn't matter. Call Gold State Home Buyers, 281-717-6100, and let them help you. They're going to make you a cash offer, like I said. They're going to handle all the paperwork from the beginning of the process all the way through closing. So once you make that call, you sit back and relax and let their team of professionals do the work for you. And they have attorneys, they have a title companies at hand, an entire in-house staff that shows you a stress-free way to sell your home. Because listen, you can go out and get a realtor. You can go out and have showings and let people come trampling through your house and you not being there. Or you can call Gulf State Home Buyers and let them make you a cash offer and buy your home from you. 281-717-6100. Get an understanding of your situation right now, whether it's title issues or a quick closing and you just need the cash, give them a call. Gulf State Home Buyers, 281-717-6100, or look them up on the web, gulfstatehomebuyers.com.
ESPN 97.5.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.